Who agrees that he is worthy today? Anybody? He is. He is so worthy. Hey, I just want to welcome you here again. If you missed me earlier, my name is Keith, and I am blessed to be the pastor here. And here we are. Okay, we've come to our final week of Heart Check, and it is Commitment Sunday. And it is our hope that as we conclude this series, our hope is that you are just living more fully free in Christ. That's been our goal this whole series, and our prayer along with that is that through that freedom, you'll commit to participating with the Holy Spirit in the partnerships that we, Revive, have established in the local community, in the city of Buffalo, and in fact, all around the world. Now, as we begin this, again, the final week, I want to open with the Lord's Prayer this morning. And this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And I think it would just be a great way for us to begin this morning. So if you could or would, I'd ask you to stand. That would be fantastic. And we're just going to recite the Lord's Prayer. It will be on the screen. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may be seated. So with that, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at Paul's letter, okay, to his disciple Timothy, who was leading the church in the city of Ephesus. And Paul knew that many things would compete for Timothy's heart and for his congregation's heart. And the same is true of you and I, of us today. And what I want to do today is I kind of want to summarize some of what we've already talked about in this series in the prior weeks. And then I want to bring everything home this morning with the final verse of the passage that we've been looking at and studying, which is in 1 Timothy 6. You can get there in your Bible if you want to. And I think it's important as you do that to just tell you that it's important to summarize where we've been and to repeat a little bit today, because we most likely need to hear the topics at hand more than once. At least I know I have to do that. And I'm assuming and surmising that some of you need that as well. And Jesus himself, he knew, okay? He knew that we as people, we need to often hear things many more times than once to fully allow it to settle in and to fully allow us to process it and then apply it. For think about his very own ministry. He often spoke over and over about the same things. In other words, repetition was a primary way in which he taught his disciples. So we're going to do a little bit of that today. So in week one of this series, we referenced 1 Timothy 6:17. Let's read that right now. It says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope where, church? In God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, in the first half of this verse, Paul is warning Timothy and Timothy's congregation and us this morning to not be arrogant, especially with our possessions. Now, it's important to note here that the city of Ephesus was a city full of material wealth, just as we as a nation, as compared to the world, are full of material wealth. Now, another way of saying this, to not be arrogant, is that we need to be humble, okay? Humble. Now, we talked about this. We're coming back to it. We need to be humble and not arrogant. Now, is it wrong, okay? I got to ask you, is it wrong to have a sense of satisfaction in the results of your hard work or in your wise life choices? Is that wrong? No, that's not wrong, okay? I mean, didn't God even survey all that he had made in the book of Genesis and conclude that it was what? It was very good. We all have things that we are proud of. something maybe we created, or our children. I am so proud of my children. Or maybe it's a hidden talent that we have, or maybe it's the way that we host people in our homes. It is all right to look at the things that you do and to look at who you've become, how you have grown maybe, or the things that you are good at. It is okay to look at that and say, it is good. For example, I'm pretty good at connecting with all sorts of people, all walks of life. And I've been told, you know, maybe you disagree, but I've been told I'm pretty good at doing this, at public speaking, which I will tell you, okay, I have and continue to work hard at. And in fact, those of you who have painfully journeyed with me in becoming a preacher, starting like 12 or 13 years ago, I hear some giggles, you probably see some growth in me in that, which partially came from repetition, like we're doing a little bit today with the topics and going over things again, but it also came from putting in the hard work, okay? And hopefully you see that growth in me. And I gotta say, I'm proud of that, which is okay. It's okay. But you see, the difference comes in when we take pride to the next level. And when it becomes something I would call our identity. Or when it becomes too much about the work that we put in versus the blessings that God has given us. You see, arrogance, it goes beyond normal satisfaction. When we are arrogant, we take full credit. And arrogance, it kicks gratitude. It kicks humility out the door, okay? When we are arrogant, we think that we are better than most others. Superior, in fact. But let me ask you, how can others, okay? How can others see the love of God in us? And how can they see Him when we feel superior? They just can't. Or at a minimum, it becomes clouded. It becomes harder for them to see Him when we go to that level. And how can we follow Jesus? Think about this. How can you and I, how can we follow Jesus into a life of service when we feel superior? Arrogance leaves us overly proud. It leaves us looking down upon others, and it threatens to leave us unteachable, possibly to the dangerous level where we cannot even receive help from others or from God Himself. So with all that said, as Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5:5, God what? He opposes the proud, but He shows favor to the humble. When we truly are living a life of humility, especially, church, when it comes to our possessions and our achievements, it becomes much easier for us to live out the next portion of what this verse in which Paul teaches on shows us. And that is to not put our hope where? In wealth. Which is what? So uncertain. And I got to tell you, isn't that such a temptation? I mean, as we earn more and as we acquire more stuff, and as maybe the value of our investments increase, doesn't our need to trust God, doesn't that just seem to tend to decrease a little bit? I'm telling you, though, in spending time that I have been able to do with people, Christians, in the developing world, I have learned an important lesson. And if you've done that and gone there, you probably have too. I have learned an important lesson. They trust God. They trust God for what? For everything. They trust that He will provide food daily. They trust that He will heal their diseases. They trust that He, God, will grow their crops. And they trust that He will deliver them from the evil one. In other words, they believe, okay, get this, they believe that the words of the Lord's Prayer are true. Give us today our daily bread and deliver us from the evil one. And as they trust God, they see Him, church. They see Him provide for such things. And they trust God because, you know why? They don't have anywhere else to turn. They don't really have anywhere else to turn. But for us in the West, we don't tend to have to trust God for things like our daily bread. We are starting to have to do that a little bit more and more, aren't we? But historically, and for the most part, we still don't, because there is still some food in the fridge usually, right? And if we can't afford it, there are places that we can readily go to get help and assistance. And when you or I, when we aren't well physically, there are medications that we can take. And there are doctors that we can readily see. I ask myself, which is a better source of security? God's nature or our abilities? And I want you to listen to this. God's nature, it wins every single time. And our abilities, well, they came from him anyway, right? And I don't know about you, but when I look death in the eye, I'm counting on Jesus. I am not counting on my abilities, which is why Jesus said this on the eve of his very own death. He said in John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God," but he said, "also believe in me." So from what we have learned about Jesus himself, we can trust him. We can trust him. I am betting my life on him now and forever. I have confidence in him, and so should you. And so when it comes to making a commitment to something like Heart Check, our outreach, our missions campaign, we realize that at the end of the day, we are asking ourselves to trust. That's what we're doing. We're asking ourselves to trust, primarily trust God, and that he can and will do much more with our time and our talents and our treasures or our resources than we could ever do on our own. And we are asking ourselves to trust that as we together as a church participate with the Holy Spirit of God, that he will miraculously multiply things like our time and our talents and our resources. And then lastly, we are also asking that you trust us. At the end of the day, Revive Wesleyan, that you trust us and our church's leadership, which I can confidently say is trustworthy, okay? And that is based on my own personal experience and insight and how we as a church, we have built significant relationships with all of the ministries that we are continuing to partner with. And I got to tell you that one of the best things about our Heart Check campaigns is, and the partnerships it supports, is that itself, the partnerships we have. We have partnerships with these ministries because it's not simply about a financial transaction, but it is about relational transformation. I'm telling you that lives are being changed, church, for the glory of God as we continue to partner with various ministries. And it is just our prayer that you are able to see that and that you get the chance to participate in that as you commit to these partnerships via your time and your treasure and your talents. And then once we do, okay, once we humbly place our trust in God, well, it is then that we are free. Free to be hopeful. For the back half of verse 17 said this. Let's look at part B of 17. Put there, okay, our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Church, given our human brokenness, even our financial successes can be dangerous. Our greed, now some people think that God loves me so much, okay? Some people think God loves me so much, he wants me to be rich. And this thinking and this teaching is called in some circles the prosperity gospel. And let's be honest, it has a certain appeal. As you can imagine, it would. I mean, the thought that if we give to the church or to the mission, and then based on that, we will be blessed with financial resources, that's appealing. But it can be very damaging, you see. And let me tell you, there is a prosperity gospel, okay? God wants us to be rich, but in his superior ways. Rich in love. Rich in grace. Rich in things like good deeds. Rich in things like our important relationships. And Jesus, church, Jesus, who is our master, he was rich in all of those things. He was rich in love. He was rich in wisdom and in grace. He was rich in good deeds. I mean, the only thing he owned was the robe on his back and maybe some carpentry tools, right? He had no savings. He had no home. He had no camel. So what I'm saying is it's impossible to read the New Testament. It is impossible to read it and conclude that God wants all of us to be rich financially. He instead wants us to be holy, you see. And he instead wants us to place our focus on leading others to himself through whatever we have been given. And when you and I together, when we pursue the Father in humility, and when we participate with the Holy Spirit of God by proclaiming Jesus, and when we place our hope in him, well, it is then that we can then apply what Paul next tells Timothy. Look at verse 18. He tells this to us as well. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. You see, being humble and being hopeful, that paves the way for us to live a generous life, a giving and not a grasping life. And through this, through doing this, we follow Jesus. That's what we do. We follow Jesus as he calls all of us to follow him. To follow him into what? Into things like generosity and kindness. So if you have resources, okay, money, time, abilities, relationships, which we all have one of those things, right? If you have resources, use them to do good. Intentionally, okay? And in a stretching manner, okay? And I will tell you, I'll be the first to confess that sometimes I think about doing good, but I never actually get around to doing it. You ever been there? Sometimes I do that. I think about doing good. I never get around to that, and I don't think I'm alone in that. There have been many times that I have been prompted by the Holy Spirit of God, maybe a feeling I get or something that he just places or puts right in front of me, maybe to reach out to someone or to help someone, but what do? I pass. And I realize often later what a grave mistake that was. Or maybe it's because of some past unwise decisions of being not a good steward of all that I have, that I don't really have the ability to respond in that moment. Maybe I bought something that I shouldn't have. Or maybe I said yes to things that I shouldn't have, and now my schedule, it's just packed. It doesn't have any margin that I need to respond. But I'm telling you, when I've done well with that, I'm just telling you, and you know this, doing good is very rewarding. And once you start, it is hard to stop. But we have to be intentional. That's the point. We have to be intentional to set ourselves up to be able to respond. And we have to trust. We have to trust, and we also have to take a risk sometimes, even when we don't have margin. We've got to give him space to follow through on the Lord's Prayer sometimes. And when all is said and done, doing good and doing godly things, when you think about it, that is why God has us here. He has us here to do good and godly things, to draw people unto himself and to offer them eternal life. He has us here to do good and to make a difference in people's lives. And when you start to do good, and when you keep doing good, and when you grow in doing good, do you know what happens? Well, your world and your heart, do you know what happens? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what happens. So be rich. Be rich in good deeds. Do you want to be rich? Well, good. Be rich in good deeds. And just ask yourself today, can I honestly look back at the trail of my life and do I see good deeds? And if not, I'm just telling you, that can begin today as you prayerfully commit to heart check and as I prayerfully commit to heart check, because Paul says to be generous and to be willing to share. You know, I was thinking about this, and many of us make vacation plans, right? And we should, right? This is good. It's good for us. It's good for our well-being. It's good for our relationships. We are free again to enjoy. But I was thinking about this, and this summer, my wife and I, we're planning a couple small camping trips. And I got to say, do you know the time and the energy, we, mostly her, okay? She helps me so much in that area. But do you know the time and the energy that we spent planning and researching and talking and just finding the right dates and setting up the reservations at the right places and then making, you know, sure that we acquire the supplies that we need to camp, and then even the idea of saving money to go? It's a big deal to plan and to get prepared for something like that, right? And in thinking about this, it forced me to ask myself a tough question. A tough question I think we all should ask ourselves. Have we spent any, or have we spent enough time planning for our giving? For our giving to God's work? For our giving to things like the church and the mission, things like Heart Check? And do we have any established goals? And do we have a growth plan for that, or no? Have you ever mapped out how you are going to be generous to others? And I only bring this up because this is important, church, because we are called. We are called. In fact, it said commanded in verse 18. We are commanded to be generous people. We are commanded to give out of the overflow of love that has been showered upon us by God. We are commanded to give based on the gratitude that is in our hearts, and we are to do so. We are to give how? We are to give cheerfully. And if your heart is right, then giving, I'm telling you what, giving is a joy. It's not a burden. It's a get-to. It's not a have-to. And we have talked in this series of how we shouldn't be a people that wait to be generous, right? You know that whole thing, I've done this a lot of times. When I am financially secure someday, right, I'll be generous. I've been there. Well, friend, I just got to tell you, someday may never come. So that whole statement, it may be a big maybe or a big maybe not. And I don't know about you, but I just personally, I do not want to respond to God's grace, his abundant grace, mind you. I don't want to respond to that or his provision or his protection or his command of me in the word. I don't want to respond like that with, maybe or maybe not. I want to be intentional, okay? I want to be a deliberate person. I want to be active, and I want to start today. And in the end, generosity, what it does, again, it makes our heart bigger and bigger. And what I mean by that is it changes us. It changes us in such good ways because it frees us. That's what it does. It frees us to trust God. It frees us to love other people around us. And it loosens our grip on our possessions. And from that, peace and joy come to us. And what we've got to know is it brings joy to our Heavenly Father's heart. It is our worship, church. It's our worship. And it opens a door for God to be every part of every aspect of our lives. It opens that door for him to be everywhere, even in our finances. So, over the past few weeks, we have seen Paul encourage us, right, to be humble and to not put our hope and trust in material wealth and to not pursue these worldly riches. And he has rightly, biblically encouraged us to be hopeful and to trust God, who will richly provide for us, and to thus, from there, to be generous and to be willing to share what God has given us. And so participating in this thing that we call Heart Check this year, that is a perfect way to begin. It's an application of the messages. And we as a church, we don't give out of guilt. We give out of love, church. We give out of the freedom that we have to participate with God and what he is doing. And we give to follow him and to obey his command in order to be rich in his way of being rich. And in the end, we don't do it because God commands us to, but we do it because he, God, do you know what? He first loved us. Think about that. That's what the word says, and you know it if you're a believer in Christ. He has first loved us in such gracious and generous ways. And with all that said, I really love how Paul ends this section of this letter to Timothy. Let's read verse 19. It says this, in this way, okay? In other words, by being humble, by being hopeful, by being generous. See, Paul's even doing a recap for us here. In this way, they, or we, okay? We, by being humble, hopeful, and generous, we will lay up treasure for ourselves. As a what? As a firm foundation for the coming age. So that we may take hold of life that is truly life. Do you want to live? Do you want to truly live? Have you felt like you are not truly living? Do you feel like you have no purpose? You have no reason of being? Do these things. Be humble. Be hopeful. Hopeful in what He, God, can do to change the atmosphere and to change us personally through our seemingly big or small sacrifice and commitment to something like Heart Check, and be generous. And let's be real clear, we aren't buying our way into heaven. Jesus already paid for that, okay? He already paid for that for you through His life and through His death, through His body upon the tree. Salvation is the free gift of God for you and for me and for all. And it is a free gift in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And all we are doing when we are being generous and rich in things like good deeds from a place of gratitude and humility, all we are doing is we are taking hold of the good life that God has for us. And we are imitating Him, our generous Father, and we are following Jesus into the sunlit spaces of freedom, because those things don't have a grip on us anymore. As we participate with His Spirit by responding to the opportunities that He has placed before us. And even maybe, I was thinking about this, maybe even as we lament, there's a fair amount of lamenting going on in our world today, right? So maybe even as we lament, a way that we can respond is by participating in Heart Check to ensure that His truth and His ways and things like hope go forward into the world. Maybe you sit here today and you've been looking for some way to respond to everything that's going on and to the lament that you're feeling. Well, many of our HeartReach partners, do you know that they have been birthed from lament? They're birthed from lament. And as we think of, as we dream of things like local outreach, things right here in Springville, which HeartCheck also supports, who knows what God may do, church? But it does take us investing. It takes us investing in His kingdom. So with that, what I'd like to ask you to do right now is, many of you may have got this in the mail, or you should have got one when you came in. Just take out your commitment card for a second. Like I said, you either got one in the mail or you picked one up. If you don't have one, you can raise your hand and I will bring you one during the video we're going to watch in a second. And then after the video, we're going to just talk through this, and I'll give you instruction on that. But if you need one, just raise your hand. I'll bring you one, but let's check out this video right now.
We think about the Billy Grahams of the world and people that are famous, and they get books written about them and everything, and, oh, well, I'd never be like that. So you kind of think doing those things is not something you can do. But when we go on the mission field, we'll meet other missionaries, other people doing really exciting, creative things for the kingdom of God.
I'm Annie McCune, my husband Lee McCune, and we've been attending Revive for about 9 years, and we're here because we want to make sure all of you get excited about Heart Check and what God can do with each and every one of us through that.
When we first went on our first trip, our youngest was 5 years old and our oldest, I believe, was 12, and it was our summer vacation. So my limited time off and our resources went into this trip where we went to Honduras. I was introduced to the Haiti work that the Shainers were working on by Denny Willis, that knew about what we were doing in Honduras, and he had us get together at Spot Coffee and learn about their vision.
I'm Judy Shainer, and this is my husband Tom Shainer. We've been attending Revive Wesleyan for approximately 6 years, and we're here to share an amazing story with you that has changed our lives and has also changed the lives of over 100 children and families in the remote village of Bailo, Haiti.
Well, shortly after retiring in 2012, I attended my first short-term mission. And I met a man named Pastor Reginald Constant. Pastor Constant invited me to see his school. 60 students were finding an education in that school, and that inspired me.
Of course, the children were beautiful and wonderful, but the starkness of the classrooms and the lack of basic supplies, things that you would take for granted as a teacher, especially with the little ones, just toys and blocks and books and crayons, there were none of that. There were a few children that were having a snack, maybe a banana or a piece of bread, and I asked Pastor Reginald if it was snack time, and he said, "No, this is our lunch." He had said that very few parents are able to send anything to eat. And my heart became very heavy and an overwhelming sadness, of course. But I also felt this indescribable desire and urge that I would act upon this from the Holy Spirit.
We had no experience in forming a mission, so to speak. So we surrounded ourselves with mentors and friends and people of like mind, and together we navigated things that had to be accomplished.
Tom and Judy were just starting. They were going on, like we started, as their own vacation, but they wanted to grow. They wanted to be able to raise funds, and we had already been through a lot of that. We built a school. So I said, "Hey, come on the board of Storehouse, and we can run all the finances through us, and when you're ready to go out on your own, then go out on your own."
We're just so blessed to report that now those kids in Bailo, Haiti are receiving a hot meal every day, 5 days a week at lunch. Beyond that, we've improved the school by adding classrooms. We added a kitchen. We put a water filtration system on the roof where kids can get clean, safe drinking water any time of the day.
As teachers, we're really pleased to say that we now pay for the teachers' salaries, and we've been able to give them a raise, and we've even been able to offer two teachers maternity leave, which is really unheard of in Haiti. You know, I just feel so blessed to be a part of a church that can have this far-reaching hand, both close in our neighborhoods, in the city, and across many countries. And just to be able to do God's kingdom work in so many places is such a blessing. And that can all happen through the Heart Check campaign.
Sitting within our comfort zone is not exciting. Getting out of our comfort zone just continues to get us to that place where we know this is what it means to be a Christian. And it is never boring, and it is never without a little risk, but it is so rewarding.
I can't imagine saying no to God. I mean, if God loves you that much that he wants to use you and ask you to do something, to say no, I can't do that. Say yes.
Amen. I love that video because of just the connections it makes between people that just have the same goal and mindset, and how God can work in that way in our church family. So I love that video. So if you have your commitment card, and if you're ready to make a commitment, I'm going to talk about that in a second. But just to put your mind at ease, there are three ways to commit today. One is through prayer, one is through engagement in outreach areas, and then one is financial. And we're doing that because we want you and all of us to fully experience what it means to be in partnership with outreach ministry. So this is not just about a financial thing, but we hope you'll maybe take a trip somewhere sometime, or you'll help somewhere locally, and that you'll be praying. So if you have a card and you'd like to fill it out, and just to remind you, this is over and above regular tithes and giving. This is Heart Check for missions and work locally, regionally, and in the world. But you just fill out your name, email, address, all that kind of stuff, your phone number. And then, like I said, there are three powerful ways to help. And you just check the box, like, "I want to commit to be praying for Heart Check and our partners." And what I'd really love to know is, we've talked about local, regional, and global. So is there an area maybe that just pulls your heart more? You could write that on there next to what you're going to be praying for. Or maybe it's a specific ministry, you know, Teen Challenge or 716 or Poetis, something like that. Just write that on there so we know how you're praying. The next box is I would like to engage with a partner ministry. So maybe you were here and you saw last week our gentleman from Lebanon and you're like, I got to go on a mission trip somewhere. That's getting engaged. Or maybe you're like, there was a ton of kids out here during Art Crawl yesterday. I want to get involved in the next community outreach. Just mark that engagement box and maybe write down next to it, like, where are you interested in doing that? Or is it regional or global or local? Just so we know how to help you navigate that. And then the last box on here is the financial area to support our outreach and mission. So you would just fill that out, and you can make a quarterly, a monthly, a weekly, or you can even put as I can commitment. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to invite the worship team forward, okay? And what we're going to do is there are baskets at each end of the aisle here. And just as an act of our worship, our commitment to this, if you checked one of those boxes, it doesn't have to be financial. It can be prayer or I want to get engaged. We want to have you come forward during the song and just drop it in one of the two baskets. And then we will continue with worship. But let me pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, Lord. You have blessed us in ways that are not even able to be counted by our mind. In so many ways that we don't even sometimes see or realize. Often it takes us slowing down to really think about that and how good and gracious you've been to us. But sometimes we don't even realize it, and you're just doing things, and we just take it for granted. So, Lord, thank you for your provision. Thank you for the Lord's Prayer that we can trust and be confident in. Thank you for your throne of grace that we can approach confidently, knowing that you care about us and are listening to us. So, Lord, right now, I just pray for however you've stirred people's hearts over these last several weeks regarding heart check. And, Lord, for those that are committing to pray, Lord, just let them feel your presence in that. And those that are committing to engage and get involved, Lord, would you give them the energy and the wisdom to do so? And those of us that are giving financially, Lord, would you just allow us to feel the freedom to be able to open our hands more to the world around us and to say, this is good. This is what God calls me to be, is a generous person out of my humility and out of my hope in what he can do through it that I can't do on my own. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this campaign. And we thank you for all of our partners and what you will do with all that is given across our five campuses. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.